gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, everybody loves the great new pictures from Santa Fe up there, check it out, find out where you can get tickets for the upcoming show, Detroit is August 20th. All right, we have a comedian, Jason Stewart, a Brad Friedman of Brad Blog to talk about Wisconsin.
Yep.
And we have David Bender coming up. First, before we dive into Right Wing World with our friend Carl Frisch, it's good to know that there is help, thanks to listener Mike in Raleigh.
Kenyan, socialist, Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of two decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an eighth grade education.
Yeah,
learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama's in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, dear.
It's subliminal right-wing man.
Yeah. He has a big house.
All right. He's got a big house. Okay. It's time to get Frisch, everybody.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I so enjoyed your piece on Rick Perry. Just the way you describe, he has the Tea Party charisma of Sarah Palin, the thoughtless Lone Star swagger of George W. Bush, and the secessional political instincts of Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
Meet the man who could very well be the GOP standard bearer for president in 2012, Governor Rick Perry of Texas. Come on down. Yeah.
Well, it occurred to me that most people, you know, he's been governor for over a decade, and most people have no idea who he is.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I just love, here they all are talking smack about President Obama. And Mitt Romney, 47th in job creation in Massachusetts when he was governor. And as you point out, Lone Star's debt has nearly tripled to more than $34 billion since Perry became governor. And only through accounting gimmicks worthy of Enron can the state budget be considered balanced.
Right, basically what they did is they paid their education bills the day after the financial year ended so that they wouldn't be counted for 2 years.
Right. And also, I believe he used some of the dreaded stimulus to actually...
saying he didn't want it. And then, you know, during those wildfires, you know, he complained about the federal government not being involved, which is so funny for a guy who talked about secession because the government was too involved in the states, in so-called states' rights. And, you know, the federal government had put up, you know, more than a third of the money and offered 28 different ways that they could help. But that's just the things that are going to annoy independents and Democrats. I mean, wait till the Republicans get to know him.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, he's already stepped in it on marriage equality. It's like, oh, states can do what they want. But I still hate gays. I just would like to go.
Right.
I want to have it both ways here.
And a lot of people don't know that he was chairman of the Al Gore for President campaign in 1988 in Texas.
Oh, dear.
Right. Or, I mean, what's going to happen when
he's got a big house?
You know, when Crazy Eyes Michelle Bachmann tells people in Iowa that this guy was elected three times as a Democrat and voted for the largest tax increase in Texas history.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I love the you say if George W. Bush led compassionate conservatives, Rick Perry can claim the mantle of crazy conservatives. you talk about
there is not an ounce of compassion in this man.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a focus group done by one of his opponents in 2006 or 2010, and the person in the focus group who supported Perry said, you know, it takes a lot of balls to execute an innocent man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And that
was
one of his supporters.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I love how you close your piece. You're like, it says something about the crop of candidates vying for the Republican nomination and their party more broadly, that Perry could emerge as an instant front runner. Fortunately for us, it says what it says about the Republicans isn't all that promising about their prospects in 2012. I mean, yeah, for all the articles about, oh, Obama's in trouble, it really is amazing. I mean, A, they hate Mitt Romney. So it's just like,
right.
Oh, anybody is suddenly going to be the front runner, right?
Well, I mean, Fred Karger, this gay Republican, is beating people like Tim Pawlenty and Newt Gingrich in the polls. And their field, I will say this, I remember 2000 very clearly when everybody said that George Bush was a joke. So I'm trying to keep my the powder dry and understand that any one of these jokes could be the nominee. Oof. And could beat Obama if we're too complacent and if we don't stand up and fight.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and Chris pointed this out yesterday. I love that Fred Karger, who were talking about the gay Republican, is beating a lot of the others in the polls, and they won't let him come to the debates.
Right. He has the same poll numbers as Pawlenty and Huntsman, but they won't let him in the debates, but they're letting Pawlenty in.
Yeah, well, you know who's in charge of that.
In the last Harris Interactive poll, he had double the support of former Fox News contributor Rick Santorum.
Yeah.
And Rick
Santorum
gets to be in the Fox News debate. Well, but you know what? Fox News has this love-hate relationship with the gay community where they give, benefits to spouses and domestic partners, and they have a non-discrimination policy at News Corp. But then, you know, from the time they start broadcasting in the morning, it's like one high-tech hate crime against the gay community until they go off at night.
Yeah, and now the debates, it's,
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
No, you cannot. The gay reindeer cannot play. All right, let's dive in.
Let a crackpot like Ron Paul on there, but no gay people.
No, that's icky. That's
openly gay people, I should say.
Well, there you go.
All right.
What are you saying there, Carl?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that there's a periwinkle in the GOP's plan.
Carl Louise Frisch, you get in the penalty box. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Okay. You know what? By the way, Wisconsin, speaking of which, you know what? They went to bed, when was it, night before the election, with 19 Republican senators. They now have 17. So, Rush Limbaugh, of course, making that a complete victory for Republicans.
If the taxpayers of Wisconsin can win against all those odds, we should be able to do the same thing in every state and in Washington, D.C. We ought to be able to roll back Obamacare. In fact, we ought to be able to roll back everything Obama has given us over the last 2.5 years. We should be able to roll back the whole Democrat agenda for the last 65 years. Yes, we can.
Oh, that's kind of overstating Wisconsin a little bit, isn't it?
Well, I love that they'll claim, look, Democrats won 2 recalls for the first time in, 100 years?
Yes.
That's good news for the Republicans.
Yeah, somehow that's a total Republican victory.
And you've got this one legislator that's a Republican who is willing to work with the Democrats. So it's, you know, it is ground the governor's Walker's movement to ruin progress of the last 100 years to a halt.
Yeah,
and
we'll,
he's going to be out on his rear in about 6 months for a recall of his own.
I was just going to say, we'll see how that goes for Rush when Walker is out in a few months, because I'm feeling it. All right, Glenn Beck on Wisconsin.
The Republicans held the Senate. They tried to do a recall on the Senate, and they failed. Mm-hmm. And they're upset because, quote, the proletariat did not take to the streets. Wow. Wow. Could we be more obvious that we're going for communism? Could we?
What?
Is that possible?
Oh, I
Democrats?
See. It was a vote against communism, Carl. That's what happened.
Yeah, and I love that he just says, quote, to but not attributed to anybody specifically.
Yeah, so he could have said that and quoted it himself.
And then, yes, I read that somewhere. Oh, here it is where I just wrote it down.
Sure.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, it's one of those Fox News tricks that he learned, you know. Some people say.
Some say.
Right.
Yeah. Andrew Napolitano on the Fox News.
Had he called Congress back, he would have exercised leadership. Had he given advice about what to do with the market, he would have exercised leadership.
Right.
Instead, he segued into something we all agree on, which is remorse and sorrow over the loss of the SEALs in Afghanistan.
That
was a very clever way of trying to get the economy off the front page. It didn't work.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Wow. Was that as awful as that just struck me? Go ahead.
I just can never trust any of these crackpots who tie the day-to-day market fluctuations to even the smallest thing that the president does.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, then when the market is shooting, it's because of what the president does. Michelle Bachmann was out there the day that the S&P downgraded us the market took a dive of, about 600 points, and said, see, Congress may lie, but the markets never lie. And the very next
right,
day,
but to imply that the president was mourning the Navy SEALs as a clever trick to get the economy off the front pages, like what he planned this happening in Afghanistan now, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Think about it. What would have happened if he didn't mourn their passing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you see, he doesn't like America after all.
Okay, speaking of America, Sean Hannity.
You know, I fear that the American dream, the America I grew up in, is vanishing before my eyes. And I'm not the only one that feels this way. Polls back this up.
Yeah, yeah. The polls of his other fellow millionaires at Fox News who may have to pay a nickel more. His American dream is about to go up in a puff of smoke.
A bluey.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity would poison his mother's apple pie if it kept his piece of that dream alive.
All right, we're putting you in the sidecar on that because you can't top that.
Nope.
We'll be back with the rest of Right Wing World. Back with Carl Frisch and more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Just a few minutes, we return to Bender, my house husband.
Yeah.
Carl Frisch in the sidecar to continue Right Wing World. Peter Morici, he is with?
He's with Fox Business Channel.
And this is regarding?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Barack Obama reminds me of an alcoholic who says he doesn't have a drinking problem. He spends too darn much money. The S&P has told him that, and it's time to get off the bottle.
Oh, dear. Wow. He's yelly.
You know, somebody should really resolve their childhood issues before
yes.
they go on Fox Business.
maybe a tennis racket, hit a pillow with a tennis racket, I don't know, something. It's interesting, he never said that about actual alcoholic George Bush and actual overspender George Bush. Huh.
Yeah, we didn't
Weird.
Feature that in Right Wing World.
No.
You know, more people heard that just now than watch Fox Business.
How very true.
And I'm just talking about our conversation between the three of us.
Just the three of us right here.
Yeah.
Assuming not anyone else is even listening. Okay. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters on Fox Business.
We are entering the end game of the welfare state, the Euro-American welfare state. And it's going to get uglier. What we're seeing in London, what we saw in Athens before this, those are the preludes to the last act. And so this is going to get nasty, and I'll tell you, it's going to get nasty here, too.
Oh, this is the second time I've heard someone in Right Wing World blame President Obama for what's happening in London, essentially.
Yes. Well, and I love that they frame it in end games. This is the end of times for our economy.
Right.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then I just wish that they'd all be raptured up already.
Why was a military guy commenting on riots in London on Fox Business Channel?
Because Fox Business, they realized very early that simply having Neil Cavuto up there talking about the markets was not bringing any eyeballs because people had CNBC, which is, you know, crazy enough on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
So they put Don Imus on there. They brought over that libertarian mustache from ABC News.
John Stossel, yes.
Yeah, John Stossel.
Hey, mustache.
And they're going full bore for the right.
So it's basically Fox News Part 2.
Basically. I mean, they might as well just call it Fox News 2 and put it up there with HBO 34.
Carl Frisch from Bullfight Strategy. See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right. There he goes, Carl Frisch. Kathy in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi. Am I the first to say Bachman Palin 2012?
Bachman Palin Overdrive. They would be awesome.
It's the crazy, stupid campaign.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've been saying they could just use the old posters from the movie Dumb and Dumber. Just one of them would have, like, their tongue stuck on a frozen pole or something. All right, Kathy, thanks for calling.
Would there be the X-Lax scene?
I don't know what happened to her. Huh?
Would there be the X-Lax scene?
Yes, exactly. Just for sheer entertainment pleasure. By the way, Michelle Bachman, it's not just that she's bad. It's that she just lies, and they just let her.
They do.
I mean, can I take a moment to say?
She should come on this program and try and get away with that.
Yeah. Well, but not even. Just mainstream media. Shouldn't there be some sort of baseline? they just let her get away with it. She just come. I can't even remember what crap it was the last time. Oh, and she was on Meet the Press. She had some stupid. I have this crap. It was complete crap, and he didn't even have the preparation to go. That's a complete lie. I mean, there's. It's not fair enough. And oh well, but there's both sides of the issue. I'll give you another. Would you like an example?
Sure.
Why? This is on Fox News. Hard to believe that would slip through their journalistic net. Demonstrating yet again her ability to fabricate information on a whim, Michelle Bachmann told Fox News host Bill O'Reilly Monday that President Obama personally told her that Obamacare will end Medicare and force seniors onto Obamacare. I mean, what? How? Okay. She said, and I quote, "So what senior citizens don't realize is that President Obama's plan for Medicare is that they will all go into Obamacare. There won't be Medicare going forward under President Obama." Could you please load the liar cannon
sure.
for me, because this is really okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are liars. You're meddling in things that are none of your business.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
Yeah. The health reform law does not eliminate Medicare, not by a long shot. The Affordable Care Act did find $500 billion in savings in the future growth of the putting it on much better financial footing, which conservatives have, of course, unfairly conflated with cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But saying this equates to eliminating the program is bold new heights of mendacity.
And you ain't the granddaddy of all liars.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John in Amherst, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Oh, yeah, okay. Didn't know if you knew
okay.
that. Oh, geez, okay.
Pardon me?
Are you okay?
John, is everything okay?
Hello, am I here?
Yes. Go ahead, John. Oh, hey, you're off to a fine start this morning.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just talking to a gentleman. Listen, simple question. Does it mean anything to you and the MOOC, Steph, that Rick Perry, because you had mentioned, oh, no one's ever heard of him, but what he's silently done is create more jobs in the last 2 years than the entire rest of the country. No, come on, Steph, you just dismiss it. What did he take from people?
Do
things of their own free will. If government's
how do you run as a fiscal conservative who's put your own state into the kind of debt that he has?
Yeah.
And the only way he balanced the budget was taking stimulus money.
Well, gee whiz, they have 6% unemployment, and he has a budget surplus, and they pride themselves on not having the government that you guys profess.
Well, he doesn't want any government at all. He wants to secede. How do you become president
right.
of a country that just a few years ago you said you wanted to secede from?
Gee, Steph, I've heard that about two dozen times within the last 2 weeks. It can get on.
Well, you can't erase it. He said that.
No, who cares?
You probably wouldn't mention that if that were a Democratic candidate, would you?
Yeah, John, we care.
No, I just care about what's actually going on in the guts of the whole thing. And the guts are that he has created more jobs in one state than the entire country combined.
By creating a massive deficit.
He is not. He has a surplus. You know what?
All right, I'll go back. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go. All right, Fuzzy Math. I'm going to go. I will read the numbers again after the break. We will talk to David Bender about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You sure you won't have one more?
Thanks, but I'm a bit tipsy as it is. It's bad enough I peed in your shower. Bye!
It saves water. I'm an environmentalist. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
But it also aerializes.
Aerosolizes.
That's it. Okay. So you breathe it in. Nice.
GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Do it. Try it now. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right, it's time. Oh, by the way, Jan in Amherst?
Yeah.
Okay. Did do the math. Can report about it. I see I do it. I actually don't. I don't use computer. I just got longhand.
Oh, really?
Tripled. The debt has tripled. It's tripled under Rick Perry since he's been governor. There's your surplus. Get your surplus ready, or Jen. Okay. It's time to return, everybody. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
That means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Yay! In the words of Michelle Bachmann. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning. What happened to Jerry Lewis? Chris, do you know what's happened to Jerry Lewis?
I don't know.
He's gone a little bit crazy, if you ask me.
Yes.
He doesn't have the governor between his brain and his mouth anymore.
Yes.
And so that's why he is no longer going to be there with his kids on Labor Day?
I'm sure there's a whole lot of behind the scenes.
I don't know what the story is. He kind of lost me at Chicks Aren't Funny, but
yeah.
Maybe he'll go to France and do the telethon there.
they still love him there, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
For everyone. By the way, the number you're looking for is a budget shortfall in Texas projected to be as high as $27 billion.
Oh, heavens.
That's a lot,
that's a lot
for a single state.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate
that's
timing.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah. So your caller a minute ago, just for the record, wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. Was that your John McLaughlin impression? Because it was spectacular.
Say that again.
I said, was that your John McLaughlin impression? Because that was
that
spectacular.
That was my John McLaughlin impression. And you know, Pat Buchanan, what do you think?
Yeah.
Pat Buchanan apparently is still, I don't know, thinking is really not the word to use with Pat Buchanan, but apparently he said that really, if we wanted to imagine a world in which our fiscal house would be in order, Pat Buchanan yesterday said that it would be with Paul Ryan and Ron and Rand Paul. Those would be the three people who would be negotiating the solution. Do you think for it, he said, in a New York minute, drop dead New York, you think that that we would have a downgrade if Paul Ryan and the Pauls were in charge?
Oh, dear God.
Thank you, Pat Buchanan. God, it's straight from 1928.
Yeah, exactly. So, David Bender, let's talk Wisconsin, because obviously we've been talking about that a lot. What is your take on the results?
My take is that, we fell short, and that is disappointing. I'll be interested in hearing what Brad Friedman says. There is no one who is more focused on electoral mechanics, whether or not we saw it again in Waukesha. I don't think we did. They blocked exit polling in Waukesha, but it doesn't seem as if the numbers are out of, it was a 5,000 vote margin in Waukesha. That wouldn't have turned that district around.
Mm-hmm.
It was close, but it wouldn't have done it. The real question is what happened to turnout. Turnout was at 44% statewide in the state Senate elections.
Right.
It was 49% in the gubernatorial. It was high. It was very high turnout. But a lot of Republicans were turned out. And that happens when the Koch brothers spend millions and millions and millions of dollars. So, there are ways to spin. And if we want to do it, if we want to say that now Dale Schultz, the moderate Republican, is going to be the key pivot guy and the very thing that we hoped would happen, which is that, Walker's runaway train of taking away basic freedoms in Wisconsin is going to come grinding to a halt. That's probably now true. Now let's caution our folks that this isn't over yet. There's an election on Tuesday in Wisconsin.
Yep.
One more to go with two Democrats who are facing recalls. And one of those, it could be close. And so people listening in Wisconsin, don't stop doing what you're doing, because we need to hold those two Democratic seats next week, or then it will be back to a two-vote margin, and then Dale Schultz doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what I think.
Well, this is Wisconsin State Senator Peter Barca. Take a listen.
Last night, two Republicans were recalled in Republican districts. These are Republicans that survived the Obama wave election, but they couldn't survive the middle class.
I mean, that's what I was saying, is that, it is really, as it is really difficult to recall people. So to me, the fact that they went to bed with 19, Republican senators, they have 17 now, the news is not all bad, and particularly if it activates, our base to recall Walker. What do you think?
I absolutely think that. I don't think that Walker is going to be recalled in January when this process can start. I think they're going to hold off until the November election, so Walker would be on the ballot at the same time as the president. I think that makes sense.
Right.
You want as many Democrats going out. So I wouldn't expect to see Walker, an actual election taking place, in February when it technically could.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do it 6 weeks after they file a petition. Am I optimistic? sure. Right now, if you look at how Republicans are, and this new polling out stuff this week that says that Republicans are at a record low approval in the House.
Yep.
Generically, Democrats have a 7-point lead. Right now, if a phrase you've heard me say many times, no one should ever use because it's never true. But if the election were held today, Democrats would take back the House of Representatives nationally. That mm-hmm. is the case.
Yeah, wow.
by 7 points. And that is a huge swing from 2010. But there's miles to go between now and then and billions of dollars to be spent, unfortunately, because of Citizens United, by all these groups. Remember, interestingly, the Democratic candidates in Wisconsin, the individual state Senate candidates, sort of were at parity and maybe even outspent the Republicans a little bit. But it didn't matter. The election was not decided by the campaigns for the candidates. It was decided by all those independent groups, which outspent everybody, you know, 4 and 5 to 1. It's the outside money, and that's what we're going to see over the next 18 months. And that's, you know, there's no way to compare it. It started in 2010. That was when they were putting their toe in the water after Citizens United. Now it is, you know, it's the floodgates are open.
David, let's obviously Iowa coming up. We were talking to Carl Frisch about Rick Perry. But, I mean, first of all, who do you think is going to take the Iowa caucus?
Rick Perry.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. I do. I think that Rick Perry is going to come in, and Michelle Bachmann, between now and her next Newsweek cover, is likely to have a meltdown. It's just, you know, we know this about Michelle Bachmann in the same way we know about Sarah Palin, that, you know, at the end of too many open microphones, Michelle Bachmann will, you know, drive off a bridge too far. There will be, you know...
She will be Tunsis, the driving candidate. Yeah. Yeah.
And so having said that, Rick Perry is the only guy. He is the anti-Mitt Romney. He is the credible candidate for, you know, the Christian fundamentalist wing of that party, which nominates, you know, certainly in Iowa and in South Carolina. And if they want to get someone who can actually go toe-to-toe, this is going to come down, we're back to the money. Rick Perry can raise the kind of money that Mitt Romney is already raising. And Michelle Bachmann, for all of her, you know, sort of
craziness,
rhetoric, can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's always searching for a word other than some synonym for crazy that's not crazy.
But then evangelical Rick Perry will run into a buzzsaw once he gets to New Hampshire. Is that correct?
You know, and the way this probably, but it not necessarily. It depends on how the field is split in New Hampshire. Hmm. If you get the, you know, John Huntsman, and if you get some of the other folks, Ron Paul always gets a chunk of the vote in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It's possible Rick Perry can get, remember, Bill Clinton was the comeback kid in New Hampshire, Chris.
Yeah.
And he ran second.
Yeah.
He lost New Hampshire. And somehow called that victory.
Yeah.
So
David, how
a second could do that?
But I'm just saying that, you know, evangelicals don't have much as much of a hold in New Hampshire as they have in Iowa.
That's exactly true, but they do overall for the nomination.
Okay.
David, I don't know if you heard that last caller. As a political strategist, how do you counter that they're going to go, oh, look at all the jobs he's created. It's the unemployment rate is only blah, 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 whatever, in Texas.
Well, it's going to be an argument because, as you rightly pointed out, that some of the way he did it was to take the federal money that he has said, you know, is an abomination against the Lord.
Right, that he made such a show of not taking, which he did take, right.
A show of not taking and taking the money. So that's part of it. The other part is let's look at what those jobs are. Let's look at the wages that are paid in Texas. Let's look at what's happened with, you know, the total destruction of collective bargaining. But really, let's also look at the quality of life in Texas, because I've been reading about the social services that this guy has been cutting, and hospitals and schools and mental health,
right,
and the things that have happened under his watch make, you know, Ronald Reagan look like Versailles. It's a bad situation in Texas. Now, the problem is, again, we're talking objective reality. If this were based on objective reality, we would simply cancel the election next year and mm-hmm. say, let's let Obama get on with the business of governing, because he's someone who actually knows how to govern and cares.
Right. Right.
That's not what this is.
By the way, Rick Perry's Texas has the highest percentage of minimum wage jobs in the nation.
That's exactly my point was going to be. Yeah, yeah, exactly. David, I know you want to talk about ProgressiveVoices.com. Can you hang with us?
I am hanging.
Of course.
Hooray!
He's my house husband. He does whatever I say. I love you. Stay there in my fluffy robe. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I've got to forget on the disco ride.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. David Bender, we return with the David Bender. David, so...
We have returned. we're like MacArthur.
Yes, exactly. First of all, tell us what ProgressiveVoices.com is.
Well, do you remember when you didn't want to go on a cruise ship with the only two men you would leave me for,
yes.
Alan Grayson and Bobby Kennedy?
Yes. Yes.
That was the genesis of Progressive Voices. It was a gathering of people, progressive voices coming together to try and change the debate. Well, it's gotten a lot bigger, and there is now something called the Progressive Voices app. You can get it, and I know you love doing this. You can get it on your iPhone or on your Droid phone, and that's how I listen to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my goodness.
It takes me right to the website. You can go to Randy Rhodes. You can go to Tom Hartman. You can go anywhere. Progressive Voices. Mm-hmm. Just download it on your iPhone, download it on a Droid, or ProgressiveVoices.com.
It's
very exciting.
It's magical.
And you still don't have to go out on the ship.
Yeah. Boats make me yak, as you know.
I do. And yakking is not pretty. We know what happens. I have to thank you for leaving gold coins in your fluffy robe, though.
Yes. From ITM Trading, yes.
Right, exactly, because I was reaching into the bottom of a fluffy rope, and there were all these gold coins, and I thought, this is very helpful. It's $1,700 an ounce. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Thank you. All right. What was I going to say? Yes, I know. Unfortunately, that's how you know it's real love. It makes you want to throw up, and I'm sorry. My love for you and Bobby Kennedy and Alan Grayson. Maybe nauseous.
Now, true love is nausea.
Exactly. All right, let's. John in Houston. Speaking of Governor Perry, hello, John.
Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, I've lived here all my life, and I heard that guy talk. Let me just remind everybody: unemployment here is just under 9%, and we have had a deficit of $27 billion. 2 years from now, we're going to start off with a deficit of $10 billion.
Yeah, so, facts are funny things, right, John? Maybe he just our caller was looking upside down because he said 6%. So I guess he just he was upside down when he read that.
And the guy that's on the phone here has a very good point. You know, all these jobs are created at what cost? You look at where we stand. This state stands in every single category that is measured, and quite frankly, we suck. We suck.
Yeah. Texas. We've been messed with.
I want to give you guys a warning, though.
Yeah.
This guy is slick.
Yeah.
He was endorsed by one single newspaper during this last election, and he won. He refused to debate. Refused.
Wow.
He won still. This guy is slick. I'm telling you guys. Do not Rick Perry.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, because he will mess with us. David, isn't that... See, you were Howard Dean's brilliant top strategist, and now you're just the guy on the phone. Do you see how politics
is? I'm just the guy on the phone. It's okay. I don't mind being the guy on the phone. Let me tell you, you can keep your head down that way. But I do have to tell you that he's right, that to misunderestimate Rick Perry is a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He is poised to come in and do... And remember, it's what... It was Carl Frisch made the same point. You go back and remember that people said that George Bush was a joke.
We were right.
and we were right.
Yes.
But
he was a joke. Unfortunately, he became president.
Yeah, twice.
The joke was
and,
on us.
Yes, and governed as a joke. Yes.
And Rick Perry is poised right now, just given the mechanics of the way the nomination works for Republicans, to walk in. He will be considered their savior. He'll be the guy. he can raise the money. He doesn't alienate, the Christian evangelicals the way Romney does. And at the same time, he gets to say, hey, I'm running a state now, running it into the ground.
I feel like I'm having a political acid flashback, don't you? It's really like, oh, wow, a governor from Texas that did a crappy job there and thinks God wants him to be president now? Oh, dear God.
God.
And the problem is people never learn from these things.
Yeah.
And I'm glad there's a cure finally, or at least people can sponsor those suffering from Obama derangement syndrome.
Yeah. It's George Bush with better hair, everybody.
That's it. This is and not quite the same accent. And look, it is absolutely true that he said, if we can't solve our problems in Washington, we'd secede. But or maybe we should talk about that. But the flip side is, I'm going to go to Washington to solve those problems that caused the places like Texas and the rest of the country to think that the federal government no longer cares about them.
Yeah.
He's going to turn that on its head.
Yeah.
Yep. Hang on. Trey in Michigan has some thoughts on Rick Perry and the whole jobs thing. Hello, Trey.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I've got in-laws in Amarillo,
uh-huh.
And so we were talking about this back in June about the fact that he's definitely coming, and so I've been looking this up, and in fact, his jobs have not kept up with the population growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fiction. It's a total fiction.
Well, and as Chris said, the highest percentage of minimum wage jobs
in America.
Not to mention the fact that the jobs that they do have are really, really low, but nobody's coming to get those jobs unless they already got the jobs, so that's the population thing,
yep.
But he's not getting as many jobs as you're getting new people. You're coming to Detroit.
Yes, I am. August 20th. You coming to Sexy Liberal?
I guess I better go get a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you better hurry.
Go to sexyliberal.com.
I don't have time to see all those other people, but I guess I'll go get a ticket.
Yeah, go get it. Get it. All right. Okay. All right. That's the important thing. Chris,
Sexy Liberal is storming across the country, and that is the only salvation we have.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Christy in Los Angeles, you're on the step. God wanted me to do the Sexy Liberal tour. He told me. Okay. Christy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Christy.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
I just want to let you know that you're talking about Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann and all the other right-wingers, but you guys are failing to bring up Ron Paul, who has won the straw poll every year.
Right.
And you guys are falling right into the same thing where you're not bringing him into it as well.
Yeah, but Christy, he buses in a whole lot of people to himself to vote in those straw polls. So I would take that with a total grain of salt.
He wins the straw polls, but he never wins the elections.
Right.
That's the issue.
Christy, that's the only thing Donald Trump has ever been right about. He is unelectable, I think.
But you know what? He's still getting votes.
By bussing in people to vote for him.
Yeah, but the Republicans don't even want to take him as a serious candidate. I don't care about him, but they don't even take him as a serious candidate because they know they can't win with him. But he's still getting those votes that are diehard Paul fans that aren't going to vote for other people as much as they'd like to.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's true. It's just not going to matter. Okay.
Yeah. In the grand scheme of things.
If you took a straw poll at Grateful Dead concerts, Jerry Garcia would win every time.
Yes.
And that's really what Ron Paul straw votes are like. These people go from place to place to place. Chris is exactly right. They vote for Ron Paul, and of course, they're Paul heads.
Yep.
And that'll always work.
Yep, absolutely.
I miss you, wife.
Oh, honey, I miss you so much. I didn't even have time to talk to you about the super committee, which we'll talk about next time.
I'm super!
Yeah, the
Thanks
super committee. Yeah.
We know who's on it. And we'll have plenty to talk about when they make all the appointments. It'll
absolutely.
So much fun.
Absolutely. ProgressiveVoices.com is what David was talking about. It is our Bender, David Bender, everybody. See you next week, honey.
See you. Love you.
Here it goes. 58 minutes after the hour. Oh, they're so super. We'll talk about that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Comedian Jason Stewart joins us this hour, and then Brad Friedman and blah, blah, blah. Could you shave my tongue for me?
Sure.
I have.
You had some
party, wine. Little party last night.
A little wine last night. A lot of wine last night.
Party. Blah. All right. Just kidding. I kid. All right. So, anyway, we will talk about the Wisconsin results with Brad Friedman in just a little bit. Sexy Liberal in the meantime. Kids coming up next. Here we go.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the Motor City.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Oh, by the way,
what?
The word pandemonium has been used. I saw it in an email yesterday. The box office in Los Angeles expecting pandemonium.
Why?
According to Roland, the tour director. Well, because the first show sold out 5 months in advance.
Right.
In like 3 days. And the second show, I think we're all nearly at sellout for that as well.
Oh, dear.
Box office I'm saying pandemonium. I haven't heard that term used. Pandemonium. So just saying, you better get your tickets now. Sexyliberal.com. We've got, what's coming up? Asheville, North Carolina, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, Buffalo. And there's apparently more announcements.
Oh, really?
Yes, wow. Coming
when,
up.
When will we come up with those announcements?
I don't know. I'm exhausted. I don't know. This is what happens. See, they got me so liquored up in Santa Fe that apparently I agree to things and I sign things and then I'm not told and then, you know.
You'll be doing the show till your mom's age.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Someone sneaks into my house, writes it on my paper calendar, and then it's, you know. All right. Clay in Seattle with yet another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Step Show and the Step System Punch. This is an actual I am with his friend, an actual I am conversation I had with my friend James, who I called Jimmy two times. I don't know.
Okay.
He sounds a little mobbed up.
Jimmy sure. Two times.
Jimmy two times said, I'm getting nervous. I left a glass of Malbec near my laptop. Abbott knocked it over. I don't know what Abbott is. Abbott's a creature
cat.
Of some sort,
cat.
I think.
Cat, probably.
Abbott knocked it over when I was in the bathroom. I let the system dry out, but it didn't turn on, so I dropped it off at the computer shop 2 weeks ago, and I haven't heard back. Yikes. PlayStation, that's
hey,
funny.
Yeah, bud.
PlayStation, oops, that's not good. You sound just like Stephanie Miller. Hope you had carbonite. Oh, that's an actual instant message. When he said he spilled wine on his computer, I automatically and instantly thought of Steph. Thank you. As most people do, because I did actually spill wine in my actual laptop, and it went
kablooey.
It went kablooey.
There was pandemonium.
Yes.
Pandas was everywhere.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. Hey, Christmas came in August. I've got new headphones.
I know.
You can actually
right?
hear out of both.
Right? We got yes. fancy new headphones.
I don't know how fancy they are. They're probably the cheapest we could get.
But they're not vintage 1940 headphones.
Yeah.
Because we literally can't have nice things here.
They don't say RKO on the side.
You're right. Or United States Army Air Corps.
Yeah.
Ed Schultz wears those, like, big, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big headphones from I don't know what year. But they look cool on him somehow.
But they're heavy. No yeah. wonder his neck is so
well,
big.
Well, he's got a big head.
Like
he can handle it.
The 70s, you know, black light poster era.
Right.
Quad sound. And all that.
Oh, and quadraphonic sound.
Yes. So you can listen to Rainbow at high volume.
Wow. That's a name of a band I haven't heard since.
Wheel in the sky keeps
yeah.
on turning.
Turn in. Okay.
That was before the Journey version.
Oh, sorry.
How do we get down this?
I don't
alley?
Know. I'm drunk.
Big headphones.
Headphones.
Drunk.
Right.
Okay. All right. So.
Needs big ears, I guess.
So this is. Mm-hmm. Not good news. 73% of us say we're going in the wrong direction. We're going the
going
wrong.
In the wrong direction.
What?
That's the same category.
Yeah, exactly. Almost three quarters.
Going the wrong way. What? You're going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. We're going the wrong way.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Terrific.
Thank you.
You're going in the wrong direction! You're going to kill somebody!
All right.
You're going the wrong way!
We just always do this just for the horn at the end, because we love that. Three-quarters of Americans say the U.S. is on the wrong track, according to a new Reuters Ipsos poll. Just 21% say we're going in the right direction. I think, you know, we've been talking politics all
and
last 62% hour.
62% of those people think it's the Republicans' fault.
Well, yeah, three out of four of those. Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. That's going to be, as we've been talking to Bender and Frisch about last hour, who people blame. And I got to say, there's other hopeful things in these polls is, you know, as we're putting together the super committee, which is super. I feel super. I don't know about you.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I know. Marcus Bachman, every time he hears it, he puts on his capizios and his dance belt, and he's just wee. All right.
I'm super. Okay. Thanks for asking. Okay. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. Yay. And nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes, and he does. Yeah, but I mean, again, the polling shows the American people want them to do exactly the opposite of what Republicans want to do. And so it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. Let's see the on both sides. So the super so far, Harry Reid announced he will appoint Democratic Senator Patty Murray from Washington, Max Baucus of Montana, John Kerry. Yeah. Murray will serve as a co-chair. Blah, blah, blah. Minority leaders Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell will each select three additional members. Let's see. Top, second story, top Republican congressional leaders have appointed six conservatives. Boner picked Dave Camp, Fred Upton, Jeb Hensarling.
Tea partier.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell announced the Senate Republican members, John Kyle, Pat Toomey, and Rob Portman of Ohio.
And none of those people are going to allow any kind of spending on...
They've all signed the pledge. And once again, so who the hell elected Grover Norquist? And anyway, but they all signed. Yeah, this is and they've.
And why do we have Max Baucus? Why can't we have all progressives on our side? Well, we need balance.
Well,
you know what? I might as well just say it right now.
Yes.
Those things, the automatic things are going to kick in because these people are not going to come to any kind of conclusion.
Yeah, but that's whatsoever. Why, I'm sorry, I think the president, you know, was smart with these triggers, the way they're set up, and I think that Ezra Klein's article in the Washington Post is right on.
Unless,
of course, we're going to have different leverage now because if they don't come to the table on anything, guess what? The Bush tax cuts just expire. We get what we want anyway. McConnell said, what I can say, exactly what you just said, Jim, what I can say pretty certainly to the American people, the chances of any kind of tax increase passing with this, with the appointees that Boner and I, well, he said Boehner, are going to be pretty low, upping the rhetoric. Eric Cantor?
There's a fly in my mint julep.
Issued a memo to his colleagues on Monday evening to blast the S&P's suggestion that revenue raises be any part of the mix. He said, I believe this is what we must demand from the Joint Committee as it begins the work, that higher taxes not be having any. What? Look at you here. Meantime, new poll says 63% of us want the super committee to raise taxes on the wealthy. A new CNN poll finds that 63% of Americans want the fiscal super committee to raise taxes on wealthy individuals and businesses, quote, so the government can use the money for programs to help lower-income Americans.
And how does Max Baucus fit into this plan?
According to the poll research, that sentiment has changed little since the 1990s. Nearly two-thirds of those polled want no major changes to entitlement programs like Social Security and Medicare, and nearly 9 in 10 don't want any increase in taxes on middle and lower-income Americans. Republican lawmakers, however, are taking the opposite approach by continuing their refusal to raise taxes on the wealthy and insisting
on the American cuts. People have spoken, and we don't give a damn. We don't care what the American people think.
But see, that's what we here we go again with the mainstream media when they just go on and say, "Well, the American people want no." It's like
no, they don't.
Buffet them with six polls that just came out that show the exact opposite. I mean, who are you speaking for? Boner just came out. Boner claims the S&P downgrade happened because Democrats blocked the Republicans' attempt to eliminate Medicare.
Just the opposite.
Yes. Again,
and they let him get away with that.
Right. again, even as National Journal put it, it is hard to read the S&P analysis as anything other than a blast at Republicans. Mm-hmm. S&P called out the GOP for using the debt ceiling as political football and for its flat refusal to consider new revenue as a part of any plan to reduce long-term deficits. Boehner said the downgrade could have been avoided if only Democrats had embraced the House Republican budget and its plan eliminate Medicare.
No!
Completely wrong. Completely opposite. It's opposite world. It's
the Democrats came more towards their side, but they did not come more towards the Democrats' side.
The American people have spoken, and the American people can suck it.
That's actually better.
I think that's what Boehner actually said.
It's more concise.
Yes. Yeah. He said the president and the Democratic leadership in Washington are trying to blame the Tea Party because they know this downgrade is on Democrats. When we took the bold step of proposing entitlement reforms, destroy Medicare.
It was bold, all right.
Yes. They reacted.
It was invading Poland.
Mm-hmm. They reacted not by embracing them and joining us, but by demonizing those proposals for political gain. While the S&P release announcing the downgrade does say containing costs of Medicare is key to long-term fiscal sustainability, it also explicitly says the fact that new revenues have dropped down on the menu of policy options was a justification for the downgrade. Nowhere does it say that the wholesale voucherizing of Medicare is in any way a preferable policy. Just in case you were, curious as to what the actual facts are.
Voucherizing Medicare is a good policy. That's what it says. That's what it says. It's right there. My eyes are kind of fuzzy.
I sense that John Boehner's copy of the S&P analysis is soaked in bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the writing may have smeared.
Yeah, and it smells of bitters.
The old man drink of choice.
Yes.
17 minutes after the hour. All right, much more to come, including my favorite Santorum analogy ever of gay people and gay marriage. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We are family. Get up, everybody, sing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president's carny on the deficit.
The president will not rest until he is confident that every American who wants a job can find a job.
Oh, by the way, unemployment in Texas, 8.2%.
Yep.
Janet Emmer said it's in six.
John lied.
Yeah.
8.26, what's the difference? Math is a liberal bias. And besides, they're great jobs. They pay at least $3 an hour. With no benefits.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
And created you can be fired at any time for any reason.
Created with stimulus money.
But other than that.
All right. Yes, he sure is a job creator. That there, Rick Perry there.
Mm-hmm. Too bad they're all Whataburger jobs.
Whataburger.
Yeah.
Whataburger.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's not get into it, because we're in the doldrums of August. We're going to get into favorite burger.
Well, I know, but in it.
70 songs.
In-N-Out just went to Texas. They just opened some restaurants in Texas. Yeah.
I love it. All right. okay. by the way, guess who showed his little tiny white shoes? Tom
DeLay?
Drunkie McPuke shoes. Was
really?
It the Rick Perry? The Rick Perry, what do you call it? Prayerpalooza. Mm-hmm. I thought that was supposed to be a non-political event. However, there was a parade of Republican
politicians
there, including Drunkie McPuke Shoes, Tom DeLay. He, as you know, helped manage the Gingrich government shutdown in 1995. He said this time Republicans should refuse to negotiate and should close the government until they get what they want.
Yeah, that worked out so great the last time.
Mm-hmm. He also said he's always praying for reducing the size of government, even if that means a closure of federal agencies.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what Jesus would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss him. I really do. Is it me? John Boehner's just not the same kind of drunk. You know what I'm saying? Remember the thing about the savagery?
Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the effects in the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapeutic understanding for our attackers. That's not slander. That's the truth.
That's just the truth. Oh, look, I just pulled it right out of my ass. That's the truth. It's the truth.
I'm just guessing at some point.
I can't business as yeah, agrees with me.
The word flirk has come out of his mouth. I don't know why. I just think so. Like he sat like, down next to a girl at a bar and flirk.
He sounds like the kind of drunk that spits on you when he talks close.
Flirk.
Mm-hmm. Another thing. That Obama guy was born in Kenya. I can prove it. I can prove it's burning.
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate?
Ah.
I mean, gift certificate.
I'm drunk on the TV. Okay. See? You see what I mean about missing him?
Yeah.
He's just
miss him a lot.
Cuddly.
Mm. Yeah.
Just cuddly. Okay. Here's a good idea. Our good friend, Representative Gerald Nadler, will introduce a bill to repeal the debt ceiling, a pawn for Republicans intent on holding the economy hostage. Ha-ha! Take away their little plaything. In a denunciation of the current Republican-driven deficit obsession and its preclusion of government action to lift the nation out of ongoing recession, he says he will introduce legislation to repeal the federal debt ceiling. He said the debt ceiling is truly arbitrary. The dangerous game of chicken Republican radicals played with the full faith and credit of the U.S. demonstrates that we can no longer risk allowing an artifact of World War I to threaten our nation's credit worthiness. Thus, Nadler called on Congress to abolish the debt ceiling, which has become a serious threat to our economic future and a pawn for Republicans' intent on holding the economy hostage to impose their own extreme agenda. He joins, guess who? Bruce Bartlett, who is senior policy advisors to Reagan and George H.W. Bush in calling for abolishing the debt ceiling.
How about that?
See, now we can't have nice things. We can't have nice things because Republicans, see?
They break them.
Exactly. Because they broke it.
Yep.
All right. Alan Simpson, former debt commission co-chair.
When you see the extremes in there, it's going to take them a while to establish trust, but they don't have 3 months to establish trust.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes.
See? Yeah. Yes. The triggers are just going to happen. You just accept it.
Listen, we may end up getting what we want in the end anyway. Yeah. If they're not going to agree to any kind of package at all, then guess what? Bye-bye, Bush tax cuts. Bye-bye. McCain at a town hall?
Yeah.
I understand that they got cranky with Grampy.
They did. Mm.
I want to see you working together. That means Democrats, Republicans.
What does that mean? That you think that we should agree to raise taxes?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. So who wants to go
first? Then get off my lawn!
Yeah, off my lawn, damn fool kids. I'll hit you with the onion on my belt.
He does smell of peas and disappointment.
Yeah.
Steamed
well, that's
peas.
Whatever canter thing.
Yeah. He confronted an enraged Tea Party member who demanded an apology for his Hobbit comment. Because he called Tea Party people Hobbits.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for what I said.
I'm not sorry for what I said. And I'm not sorry for what I'm about to do to you.
Oh, dear.
I've crapped better men than you. And I was in them.
He's got nothing to lose now. He did. He said, I crap better men than you. 29 minutes after the hour, comedian Jason Stewart next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
How may I, in all humble servitude, be of assistance?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, poor Grampy. Elsewhere at the John McCain town hall, someone yelled, you're sot of touch, dude.
Oh, no.
And someone else yelled, where's our fence?
Oh, come on.
I expect you'll want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Oh,
I didn't care about the dang fence. I just said that to get reelected.
Okay. Meantime, by the way, kids, Jason Stewart, one of our very favorite comedians, joins us to talk about an event he has here and everything else in the world. Hello, Jason Stewart.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, honey.
I'm going to be at the Mocha Pucka Pucka Cultural Theater, and wow. I can't pronounce it, and I can't say it, and I don't know where it is. Well, you know, the problem is I went to school in Los Angeles at Fairfax High School, and it was the 80s, and we really yeah. didn't get an education, but no. I could dance in a circle. It well, is true. I never really learned anything, but for, I didn't.
Yeah.
I learned how to put together a cute outfit.
Well, listen, that's the important thing. You could just go to the center, oc.org. See, I have that information for you because I actually had a Catholic school education, so I'm a skosh better than you.
Yes, you are, and you guys were afraid of people, and we weren't. We were just back talkers and smoking cigarettes and pot brownies and, you know, eating things that were inappropriate and standing yeah. in front of the school. And I swear to God, I think I spent more time standing in front of the school. I don't even think I ever went in, and, you know, for the 2.5 years I was there. I was so browbeaten by the whole society.
Wait, wasn't something shot there at Fairfax High? Was it Beverly Hills 90210 or something?
Somebody. I yeah. wasn't there because I went there in the 80s. We didn't have guns there. We were free to be you and me. We were holding hands and walking around and wearing sandals.
I was definitely not doing that in Buffalo at Catholic school in the winter.
Catholic school in Buffalo? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm in Hollywood. I was so affected by my own presence.
Tell me, but I've got to tell you, I barely watch anything. Like, if Lawrence O'Donnell didn't say it, I didn't hear it. But I love Entourage.
Yes. I do, too. I got to tell you, I did a little cameo on there playing myself, and I am actually in the, if you guys know the show out there, Kevin Dillon has a character, his name is Johnny Drama, and
yep.
he's an actor on the show, he plays the star's baby brother, who's a TV star, and he gets his own cartoon called Johnny Bananas, and I play Doc Hawk in it. And I want to tell you, Andrew Dice Clay was actually in the, I work with Andrew Dice Clay, it was so bizarre, and I've met him a million times, but he pretended like he didn't know who I was.
Right. Yeah. That's his deal.
Oh, is it? Because he had this really big eye. I met him when he was just Andrew Clay at a childhood friend of mine's house from Fairfax High School. That's how long and how old I am. God.
What? No, because who can even remember now, but he's gotten in hot water for homophobic stuff, hasn't he?
I think he's completely insane, but very, very funny. And he was really sweet. I mean, he really was. And Kevin Dillon, oh my God, I wanted to just, he was the nicest guy. He said, we should get this guy another part here. We should fill him in. I don't know. He's very funny.
Yeah, he talks the same way, yeah.
Oh, and I was actually doing lines with Kevin Dillon sitting there. I mean, you know, lines in the...
Not the lines.
Yes. He was terrific. Please. He really was.
I have to run today's story by you because I just...
What's
obviously,
going on?
Well...
Did Barbara Streisand make another movie or something?
No. No. In other gay news, Rick Santorum, Google it. He's compared, gay sex to man on dog or just very odd. He's turned more than a few eyebrows Monday. He explained his opposition to same-sex marriage by holding up a napkin and observing that it wasn't a paper towel. Hang on. He relied on a similar metaphor to prove why society can't redefine marriage. Water is not beer.
What?
He said, it's like saying this glass of water is a glass of beer. Well, you can call it a glass of beer, but it's not a glass of beer. It's a glass of water. And water is water. Marriage is what marriage is.
Oh, my God. I don't know whether to kill myself or go bowling.
This
guy is actually getting press, and I can't get a television series, and this guy is in the news. It absolutely shocks me what they print.
The other, we were talking about this. I don't know if you know Fred Karger is this openly gay Republican candidate for president.
He's not really Republican. Now, I've talked to Fred a lot. Fred is an independent because, I mean, being gay and Republican and a Jew.
What's the deal?
That's a recanter.
What's your deal?
Just slit your own wrists. Dear God. I mean, I keep saying, Fred, I would love to vote for you, but I'm a diehard liberal Jewish nouveau riche, you know, dance in the street Democrat. You know, I'm down there with Barbara Streisand and Bill Clinton, and you know, and I still like Obama. I got to tell you,
me too. Well, my point is that he has higher poll numbers than some of these other candidates, and they won't even let him come to the debate.
Well, we can only hope that all the complete crazies, the Michelle Bachmann and the whole, you know, Sarah Palin, the whole girl. I'm just praying to Jesus every day that they run. Number one, there's so much to talk about.
Right.
And number two, they will never win.
Speaking of Michelle Bachmann, I, of course, as a very famous openly gay comedian, I have to ask you your thoughts on an anti-gay, Christian, small government, Republican congresswoman married to a clearly flamboyantly gay man who is using government money to do reparative therapy on gays.
It's like watching a sitcom on Fox.
Yeah.
With this great, and people will, some comedian friend of mine, and you know them, Stephanie, they'll call you on the phone, I got this great character, and all of a sudden, he's going to go through the whole season, and he's going to seem really, really gay, but he's going to pretend he's straight the whole time. And you can't really come up with this part, you can't come in and read for it, because it's going to be a really, really, really kind of gay guy, that guy that turns out to be straight. Oh my God.
No, it's like you're going, you can't steal, they already did. Waiting for Guffman. You can't.
Exactly.
Really?
I just call my mother and my sister. My mother and my sister. I'm Faye Dunaway in Chinatown. No wire hangers.
No, I'm like, I mean, seriously, the fact that they would admit that he picks out her pantsuits, I'm like, are you basing this on Waiting for Guffman?
Pantsuits. Who wears pantsuits anymore?
I know. Well, some female politicians.
I wanted winter white. This is clearly a crew.
You tell me exactly. There was an ad. Well, where was that from, Jim? From the, I don't know, it was New Yorker? I mean, literally this very explicit, yeah. Like, I picked out a lovely suit in bone. With Matt. I'm like, what straight man knows what color is bone?
He is gayer than I am. I don't even know, because I'm the worst. I really am. I will go into the Gap, get a pair of jeans, a really cute T-shirt. That's it. I mean, I went into Abercrombie & Fitch the other day because I'd lost some weight, and I went in, and there's a guy standing in front. I'm not kidding. In the Grove, this is in Los Angeles. There's a big outdoor mall,
yes.
And there's a guy sitting there, and he's wearing jeans and not a shirt. That's half of what they're selling. I mean, and then you go in there, and the jeans are not on a shelf. No, I want a pair of regular jeans, no rips, no tears, just regular jeans that I can ruin myself. They don't even keep the jeans on the shelf. No. How could they? It's in a jewelry case. Yes.
Yeah.
With a key. I mean, you look at, there's one pair that's got blood on them and urine and crap. And I mean, they're ripped, and one looks like they rolled around for some cowboys wearing. There's a kid in there going, please let me out. I got stuck.
Yeah, you gotta pay extra for that.
You gotta pay extra for the vomit.
Yeah, for the vomit.
Can you imagine? I mean, vomit on the jeans. Lady Gaga's wearing it. It's in the list.
It's true. The more up the jeans are, the more expensive they are.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's completely insane.
Exactly. So, Jason, now tell us about this thing. There's also a special meet and greet with you at Hula's Bar right after the show.
Oh, no, that's going to be when I go to Hawaii.
Right.
I'm going to
Hawaii.
Oh, that's
different. Wait a minute. I've got several thousand pages of things with you.
I'm just doing two different things. On the, let me see, on the 12th, I'm going to be in Orange County, which is Thursday, Friday, tomorrow night, and I'm doing a big benefit for the Gay and Lesbian Center with a lovely comedian named Jenny McNulty, who's actually a football player, which scares the hell out of me. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine being a football player. It just seems so, a bunch of guys jumping on top of each other wearing tight pants. Oh,
wait a minute. Wait a minute now.
Yeah, all the women do it, so she's on a team, and she's my opening act, and she's absolutely terrific. And it's wine, I guess, a wine reception at 5 o'clock, so everybody's going to be so drunk by the time it's wine tasting, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, so by the time the show starts at 7:30, they're all going to be crawling on the, you know, carpet tiles.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's funny you mentioned football. We were talking about how many people, you know, have been coming out recently, whether it's Don Lemon from CNN, people, you know, in sports.
I read his book. It's really terrific.
Oh, I know. I know. We love him. But, I mean, but it's interesting you bring up football because that's one of, like, the classic American macho things. And you're right. It just could not be gayer, could it?
You reach between the man's legs to grab a ball.
Yes, men in tight pants.
Sports, baseball. It looks like if you sit really high and they, you know, someone hits the ball, it's very pretty. It's sort of like ballet.
Yes. Yeah. But where else can men pat each other on the bottom?
And how many
not be considered gay?
There's so much porn about sports. There really is.
But I think it's go ahead.
I would love if anybody there. I'm still single except for the guy in Key West that I'm going to see.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's done.
He's not listening to this, I'm sure, because he's at work now. But I'm still single. So.
But officially, Jason Stewart, ladies and gentlemen, we'll raffle him off this morning. What is your website, my sweet?
JasonStewart.com. Tuart. Mm-hmm. And the thing that you were saying at Hula's is when I go a week from this Friday, I'm going to be at a theater in Hawaii or a hotel or something doing comedy. And then there's this big meet and greet at Hula's, which is the big gay bar there, I guess.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Awesome. JasonStewart.com. Check it out. We love you, honey. Talk to you again soon.
Call me every 5 minutes.
All right. I will. You know I will.
I believe football is the only sport that has both a wide receiver and a tight end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear. You don't hear that in any other sport.
Yes.
Really.
And they, and just if it wasn't gay enough, that they invented that. It's not like it had to happen that way. You know what? I'm going to spread my legs.
And you're going to reach between my legs and grab a ball. What?
You know, we're going to make sure there's like a countdown to snap so that you can leave your hands between my legs for
a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where else could you do that?
How drunk am I, first of all? And,
okay. All right.
And what's the helmet about?
All right. 45.
Oh.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been talking a lot about Obama derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
And thank God, thanks to listener Mike and Raleigh, there is help.
Kenyan socialist Muslim.
Meet Skeeter.
He raised taxes 14 times.
As you can tell, Skeeter is afflicted with Obama derangement syndrome. Skeeter is unable to distinguish wild fantasy from reality. There is no cure, but there is hope.
He's arrogant.
For less than the price of 2 decaf triple lattes, you can sponsor someone with Obama derangement syndrome.
All he does is blame Bush for everything Bush did.
With your help, Skeeter and thousands like him can receive the equivalent of an 8th grade education.
Death panel.
Learning basic civics, economics, science.
He had a big hip-hop barbecue.
And hygiene.
Community organizer, communist Hitler.
We might not be able to cure him.
They're not rich people, they're job creators.
But we might prevent Skeeter from running for a second congressional term.
Obama's in cahoots with Barbara Streisand and Al Gore, who has a big house.
Please help us erase Obama derangement syndrome.
Madrasa.
A half-baked thought. Is a terrible thing to waste.
He had a hip hop barbecue.
Yes, he did.
Communist Hitler.
Mike and Raleigh is awesome. By the way, if you want to hear that for yourself, there's a link to it up at your Facebook page.
Yes.
Fantastic.
If you want to hear it again, I think is what you meant to say.
If you want to hear it, you know, on demand, if you will.
Rick is correct about boxing gayer than football. Boxing is clearly invented by gay men. Think about it. Two topless men in silk shorts fighting for a purse and a belt. That's true.
Yeah, well,
that's
true. It's true. Mm-hmm. Didn't Lewis Black say that? No,
I don't know.
Who can say?
Who can say?
Two topless men in silk shorts fighting for a purse and a belt.
Oh, I think
how gay is that?
I think, right, now that you
say
it.
Well, now that you say it like that,
yes.
It sounds like something.
All right, Senator Rand Paul on the...
To reform, you would actually have to have true cuts in the budget. You would have to spend less next year than you spend this year.
Oh, boy. speaking about Kentucky, could you take your organ out for me? This is the kind of thing that I should get tax breaks, Jim. Kentucky gives creationist theme park a 75% tax discount for the next 30 years.
Holy crap.
Wow.
In May, Think Progress reported that Kentucky approved a $43 million tax break for Ark Encounter. Oh, boy. A Bible-themed amusement park that religious organizations are building outside Williamstown. Now the state is giving the creationist project another kickback in the form of a 75% property tax discount over the next 30 years.
Wow.
How do I get that? If I build an ark in my yard, can I get that?
You could.
I'm going to say it's a Bible creationist theme park.
You have got two large animals already ready for the...
There you go. I have two of the same animals already.
Yeah. That seems...
I'm going to try. I'm going to call the L.A. the county tax assessor later today.
Yeah, but they're not boy and girl.
Oh, well.
Who? The dogs?
Yeah.
That was...
Well, they prove they're gay. How do they know? They've never seen Max Fred's head, which he does. But still...
That seems a little like the state establishing a religion me. Very that's
yeah.
First Amendment.
I'm putting in like a rapture water slide, something. my little pool something.
The water slide goes up?
So. Goes up yeah. instead of down.
Wow.
It's the laws of gravity and
physics.
God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. It's like a you can just, it's like a salad slide. Shooter. You can just see kids getting shot up. I'll just have my friend's kids, you know.
Pull.
Ping. I'm going to use Mom's rapture water slide.
You famously don't like children, so that's a good way to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I better up my liability insurance just a little bit.
Salad shooter into orbit. Hey, we have a manned space program
sure
again.
Sure, your kids can come over. Not for long.
Yeah.
Sping.
Going on a little trip.
Going on a ride.
Yeah.
Okay. The multiple tax breaks for these two.
Bizarro Busch Gardens.
Is that a lesbian joke? All right. No. The multiple. No.
Hey. I used to work there.
What? Sure.
Busch Gardens.
Sure, the Lederhosen joke. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I loved my job at Busch Gardens.
Just once in college or never mind? Okay. The multiple tax breaks for the amusement park come at a time when Kentucky families are struggling from 8 rounds of state budget cuts over the past 3 years. This includes cuts to education at all levels, a pay freeze for all teachers and state workers, and reduced funding for Medicaid. The state already has a creationism museum, and the complimentary amusement park includes biblical exhibits like the Tower of Babel and a full-size replica of Noah's Ark, complete with dinosaurs inside, which creationists believe coexisted with early men.
Well, they have their priorities in order.
Dinosaurs did not coexist.
No.
Okay. All right. No. Listen, I have just a crappy Catholic education from Buffalo.
Adam and Eve did not ride dinosaurs.
No. I mean, I'm not as poorly educated as Jason Stewart at Fairfax High, but, you know, even I know dinosaurs did not. Okay. All right. Speaking of fuzzy math and science, Michelle Bachmann, I mentioned this earlier, Jim, just has gone from bat crazy to just flat-out lies.
Yep.
Just amazing that got by Bill O'Reilly.
Because a couple of months ago, I was in the White House with President Obama. Mm-hmm. We asked him 3 times, what's your plan to make Medicare solvent? He mumbled around, didn't give an answer. Yes. He said, Obamacare. And so what senior citizens don't realize is that President Obama's plan for Medicare is they will all go into Obamacare. There won't be a Medicare going forward under President Obama.
He did not use the pejorative Obamacare.
Yeah, I'm sure he did about his own health care plan.
Good
and
God.
Michelle, I'm only going to tell you this. Don't tell anybody else.
Obama.
But my plan
Obamacare
is to destroy Medicare.
Yeah, Medicare.
Replace it with a talking point about me.
Yeah. Yeah, Michelle, socialism.
And then he called himself the N-word. Okay, you know what? You are just a giant lying sack.
You're a lying sack of crap.
A lying sack of
crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
It's like Obama repeated all the things about him that was just in that Obama
communist
deranged thing
communist
about
Hitler
himself. Mm-hmm. And by the Madrasa way, Michelle, I am a Kenyan socialist who was educated at a madrasa.
By Hitler. On a dinosaur.
I mean...
Yeah, Jesus rode a dinosaur through Jerusalem.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course
right
he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's easier for a rich man to get in heaven for a dinosaur to...
A stegosaurus.
Eye of the something.
Mm. Oh, could you take your organ back up for this, by the way? In Dresher, Pennsylvania, a Methodist pastor has stepped down from his church after being accused of exposing himself to 2 women. And this is how you know the state of religion today. You know there are a lot of people going, oh, women, thank God.
Thank God.
Woo!
Oh,
okay.
Guys.
Wow. Women, okay.
Woo! Live boy
woo
or a dead
it's
girl.
The only that bullet showed women is so bad about that. All right. Mitt Romney.
And I believe I'm the best equipped to be able to provide to this nation the leadership that's necessary to get our economy back on track.
Look at my hair. I'm the best equipped candidate for getting the economy back on track. It's the hair products industry alone.
I think he has a hair envy about Rick Perry already. Yeah. I'm the one with the hair helmet in this race. Did you see the montage that Chris Matthews played, Jim, the other day? He really is. He just could not be more awkward.
Yeah.
And clip art. Like, he's just that trying to be a regular guy. It is so embarrassing when he's standing with the black people. When he literally said, hey, who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
Hey.
He was trying to be a regular guy walking through the Iowa State Fair yesterday eating a hot dog. And he just happened upon the live shot of Carl Cameron on Fox News.
And then the one where he was pretending that some woman pinched his butt. He's just... Oh, it's just so painful. He's so awkward.
I'm going to roll my sleeves up. No, I'm not. That's crazy.
This is me making a joke about a woman goosing me.
Okay. Oh, he's pathetic. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, the hilarious Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars, and of course, Fridays with John Fugelsang, Sexy Liberal. All right, sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, find out. By the way, we just added more shows in December. As if September and October aren't going to kill me already. But sexyliberal.com, there will be upcoming announcements.
Really?
But hurry and get your tickets now for Detroit. It's coming up August 20th. Dear God.
It'll be a very sexy liberal Christmas.
Oh, it really will. Someone brings me a thong in every city, so start knitting my Christmas thongs, please.
Yeah.
All right. Asheville, September 24th. Then we got Seattle. Oh, my God. Double shows in Seattle, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in October. Austin, Saturday, November 12th. Buffalo, New York, Mama's hometown, Saturday, November 19th. And the upcoming shows to be announced. All right. StephanieMiller.com is the regular website. Oh, a quick unsolicited testimonial to the Power of the Steph Show. The Steph spot is on the Cedar Side. Debbie in Millfield, Ohio. Hey, Steph, just ordered me some more Cedar Side Best yet. Oh, good idea. This is the best stuff I've found for my dog's fleas. I use it on the kitty, too, sparingly. It kills the fleas and makes them smell good. Mmm, it is. It's cedary. Thinking of spraying it behind my own ears and calling it my signature scent. Oh, I think that's delightful, Debbie. It is. Nice, woodsy, cedary scent. All right. We were talking all yesterday and, of course, this morning about the results out of Wisconsin. Brad from Brad Long joins us, who is quoted on this show like God.
Yes.
Hello, Brad Friedman of Brad Blog.
Hello, good morning.
If only you know how many times Jim Warren starts a sentence with Brad Blog says.
Is that right? Well, he's very smart to do that.
It's like the doublemyspeed.com guy. It's just Brad Blog says.
Doublemyspeed.com.
Nice. And I don't even have to wake up, and that happens. That's awesome.
So, again, maybe because I'm a happy, clappy liberal and a glass half full. First of all, I feel like, you know, again, they went to bed with 19 Republican senators. They woke up with 17. But I obviously, you know, Waukesha County again is what you've been talking about, right?
Well, I've been talking about it. I've been kind of talking about it for months. It was really bizarre watching those results coming in on, Tuesday night. And, you know, everything once again seems to come down to this one county with this one Republican activist county clerk, Kathy Nicholas, with a criminal past. She's received criminal immunity in the past in exchange for testimony against her colleagues who went to jail. This is the woman that everyone in Wisconsin is relying on, is trusting on to find out who won this election. The citizens of Wisconsin don't actually get to oversee their own elections. And
let me ask a dumb question. As a layperson, I mean, how is that possible? How is she, I mean, legally, how is she able to retain this job?
Well, she was elected. Now, you know, elections in Wisconsin don't necessarily have anything to do with legalities anymore, unfortunately, but she was elected to the post, so she can't really be removed short of, you know, being convicted or something on a felony. So that's what you got. But you know what? The fact of the matter is that she is an untrustworthy election official is not really all that unusual. Even the ones that we might trust, we shouldn't have to trust, but we do. Because Wisconsin, like so many states, doesn't allow the citizens to oversee their own counts. They run them through computers. Whatever the computer says is what goes. And numbers are either right or wrong.
But once again, let's go back to the Joanne Kloppenburg race. When, of course, she's way ahead.
Yep. Oh, look, I found another 7,000 votes in my ass.
Up my ace.
Yep.
But on her personal laptop, again, isn't that illegal? I don't understand how this has been allowed to stand and there's no investigation.
Well, actually, there is an investigation. A special investigator has been assigned to Kathy Nicholas's case to look into it. And by the way, Kloppenburg wasn't way ahead. She was barely ahead on election night. But she was ahead until 2 days later, Kathy Nicholas comes out, says, oh, there was 14,000 votes we didn't announce on election day. And that, you know, changed the entire result. Yeah. But the worst part of that was, as that recount proceeded, virtually nobody covered what was going on in Waukesha County. Bags of ballots, hundreds of ballots, thousands of ballots were showing up wide open with their serial numbers changed, missing. Bags were duct taped. We had poll tapes that were printed out that were actually dated 6 days before the actual election. And nobody was reporting on it. And this, you know, includes my friends on MSNBC, Ed and Rachel and all of that. They didn't cover this. And then on Tuesday night, all of a sudden they start talking about the words Kathy Nicholas, Kathy Nicholas. Well, where has everybody been for the last 3 months when we've been yelling and screaming about the concerns in Wisconsin with Kathy Nicholas and, frankly, all across the state because of the way they count their ballots?
So, Brad, this was the Roberta Darling race, correct?
Right.
The Republican. Yep. So, again, what is your takes thus far on what happened and, you know, if there's going to be any recourse?
There is likely to be no recourse whatsoever. And this is kind of why I try to warn everybody before these things happen. Because in Wisconsin, as I say, luckily there are actually hand-marked paper ballots for most of the state. However, they run them through the same computer opscan systems made by Diebold and Sequoia and ES&S and all those names. And whatever the results are, that is what the election results will be. They don't count a single ballot in the entire state of Wisconsin to double check it to make sure that the computer's got it right unless there's a recount. And we saw how the recounts go. You know, so we are just stuck with those numbers. You are forced to trust in the magical election fairy, whether you want to call it Diebold or Kathy Nicholas or whoever. And is it just me, or isn't that kind of a crazy way to run a self-governing democracy?
Well, particularly with all, you know, it just seems like, Brad, all the other dirty tricks that these Republicans have to engage in, you know, when you're looking at their poll numbers, no wonder Scott Walker has to, you know, try to voter ID and, you know, redistricting and anything they can think of, you know, to gain an unfair advantage.
And they did. They ran all kinds of dirty tricks leading up to this election with fake absentee ballot mailers, phony groups that turned out to actually be run by the national director of the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity. So, yeah, they're doing all kinds of dirty tricks on the front. Why wouldn't they do it, you know, on the actual election results when it actually matters? And, you know, as we were watching it, once again, everything came down to that final district, District 8, and all night long, Kathy Nicholas has 11 counting units in her particular county that she needed to report on election night. All night long, we're looking at 1 out of 11 units were reported. The numbers were being held back for whatever reason. It was about 4 hours, and all she had reported was about 596 ballots, I believe, in 4 hours until she finally came out with the numbers, which flipped the results of the race from Sandy Pasch, the Democrat who had been leading, gave it to the Republican, and that was that. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that there was tampering going on. By the way, the state Democratic Party put out a statement that she was tampering with the ballots, which I thought was really irresponsible, frankly. So I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that we had to rely on her. She gave us our numbers. They are either right or wrong, and nobody in the state of Wisconsin or anywhere else is able to determine if, in fact, those are the accurate results because of this crazy election system we continue to use, and we're going to use in 2012 again, by the way. So get ready.
Do the people in MSNBC self-censor, or are they being told from above, don't cover this, don't talk about it?
They've never had me on the air, so I couldn't tell
well,
you.
Yeah.
I'm on Fox, I'm on CNN, I've never been on MSNBC. So I can't tell you why that's happening, why they do that. You know, Rachel has been good with a lot of these issues along the way, but the real key ones, the way, you know, how our votes are tallied and whether we can actually determine if it's accurate, that's something that really is not covered on MSNBC or anywhere
else.
In the media.
Well, maybe we should ask Mike Connell about it. Oh, wait, you can't.
Ouch.
He had an accident.
Ouch.
Guys like that tend to get clumsy.
Yeah.
What? I mean, what about the recall election for Walker? I mean, are you hopeful on that, or you know, are these concerns? You know, I mean, the problem. You know, what I don't want to do, Brad, is suppress people's you know drive to get out and vote. Because you know what I mean. If we get out in big enough numbers, I mean, that's the thing. People listen and go, oh, well, it's not going to matter. They're going to steal every election anyway.
You know, I hear that all the time from people, largely from folks on the Democratic side. Who say that, oh, if you tell people that there are concerns about the way their ballots are counted, they're not going to show up at all. I haven't found that to be the case. In fact, I find that to be quite the opposite. When people hear about the problems and the concerns, they not only show up to vote, but they start volunteering to oversee the polls, to be poll workers, to, you know, to go to the counting facility on election night and try to get photos of ballots and ballot bags and polling tables.
Well, and demand accountability on either side. I mean, that's what I don't get. I mean, hopefully people listening to this, if there is enough outcry, you know, about this, as Jim says, if we're not just complacent about it, I mean, if you're a Republican listening right now, you should want the Democratic Kathy Nicholas overseen by someone else, too. So we all feel, you know.
Democrats aren't devious enough to pull that sort of thing off.
That's not true. I mean, you're absolutely right on that point, Steph. I mean, that's why I, you know, find myself last November, you know, going to bat for Joe Miller up in Alaska, for crying out loud, of all people. I have to go to bat for him because he says, well, I don't know if I actually won or lost because nobody's allowing me to look at the actual ballots to determine that. And I have to go to bat for Joe Miller and say, yes, Joe Miller is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. That's because, you know why? Because you're Brad from BradBlog.com.
Yes, I am.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Yeah.
All right. He's Jim Ward is like Brad Blog Rain Man. He just definitely Brad Blog.
Yep.
BradBlog.com. Brad, thank you so much, honey. Thanks for your work and your time as always. We'll talk again soon.
Great. Good talking to you.
All right. Thank you, honey. There you go.
Yeah, hey, BradBlog.com.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
That's soothing.
It is. Good morning. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number to join the party. Oh, guess what you missed? Speaking of callers, Jim. Jan from Annemarce called in earlier to see Rick Perry.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's a jab creator.
He just got out of a shower, and he's a jab creator.
He is unemployment 6% in Texas. Can't get around that. Well, you can if it were true.
Well,
unfortunately,
yeah.
It is 8.2%. Not true.
They're all crap jobs.
Yes.
It's at 8.2%, and they're he has the highest percentage of minimum wage jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the debt, by the way, FYI, GTK has tripled while repairing has been governor.
Yeah.
And he only balanced the budget with stimulus money that he said he wanted to say.
That he didn't want.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, then.
And he took it under force.
Yes.
Yeah.
Duress.
Held a gun to his head.
Yeah. Remember that? He made a big deal out of, this is the balance of budget like we have him in Texas, like we did him in Texas. And then, you know, the actual numbers came.
Gee whiz. Math has a liberal bias. That's
and he
well
did
known.
A little Enron accounting with the stimulus money. And that's how he magically balanced his budget.
Enron accounting seems to be very prevalent in Texas.
Exactly. Ron Paul, by the way, talking about Rick Perry's record.
His record as a governor does not show him as a standout as actually being a conservative. He actually was the chairman for Al Gore at one time, not too many years ago.
Oh, dear.
In 1988.
Oh, dear.
He was.
Oh, dear.
For Al Gore's presidential election campaign in 1988. chairman for the state of Texas.
Yeah, that's going to be even worse
that's
for him.
That's not going to go over well.
That's going to leave a mark.
All right. By the by, so we just had an interesting conversation with Brad from Brad Blog about Wisconsin. Fred Clark, Democratic Wisconsin Senate candidate.
This is a one strong piece of evidence that our democracy still works.
Well, sort of debatable, yeah. According to Brad.
Yeah, these people are just in denial about this. It's like, no, there's the vote numbers. That's got to be right. Right? It can't. That couldn't happen here.
I just, we all want on both sides would just be accountability. I don't think that, I was just saying back in the Kloppenburg thing, can you imagine if some, you know, Democratic Union activist in a Madison precinct went, oh, guess what, I just found all these votes at in my laptop, personally, is that okay? I mean, that's, you're right, Jim, it's about the way we fight, speaking of Al Gore.
Yeah.
I am in this to win, okay.
Well, Fox said that I lost, okay, all right, what? All right, I concede. No, okay.
He's doing a good job now with current.
Yes, he certainly is.
You heard his rant. Why, we talked about it.
Yes, we talked about it yesterday. Where,
yes.
Yeah, so it was all BS.
We need to be, Democrats, we need to be more like this woman. Cops, a woman 70 ends argument by firing shots. That is an argument ender. It's punctuation. Police say a 70-year-old Oregon woman ended an argument with her husband by firing 5 shots from a handgun into the floor of their home.
A lot of liberals and guns don't mix, though, so I don't know if that would be good for our side.
I'm too spazzy, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some martial arts expert threatened to teach you how to use nunchucks. That
would be a very short lesson. I don't need any weapons to injure myself.
You might as well just go to the hospital now. And then
we go preemptively. Yeah. boy. Oh, gosh. You know what? In these times, a nice love story is always, it peps us up. Man dressed as a carrot proposes marriage. Oh, John Boner, you are romantic. Is Mrs. Boner orange, too? I'm just curious.
I don't know that we've seen the lovely and talented Mrs. Boner. I don't know what she looks like.
Let's Google that.
Interesting.
Okay.
Mrs. Boner. So it's just like Mrs. Doubtfire. No. That's
no. They have a bunch of little orange children. And they sit around every
Cheetos.
Night eating carrot souffle. Okay, if your girlfriend's favorite color is orange and you want to propose, maybe dressing yourself and 48 friends as giant carrots is the best way to get her to say yes. As one love-struck Chinese man did recently for China's Valentine's Day. As shoppers and his girlfriend looked down, the man spoke into a microphone inside his costume. He then peeled away his disguise and proposed. Shoppers shouted, "Marry." And that's exactly the way it happened with John Boner and his wife.
I can't find a picture of John Boner's wife.
Really, now?
Huh.
I mean, you know, I've only searched for about, you know, 15 seconds over here, but...
I think it would be easy to find.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is he married?
You'd think so.
I'm married to the American people. The American people can suck it.
He's the American people, that's for sure. But marriage. by the by, she's just so useless. Michelle Bachmann said President Obama should call Congress back from its recess to steady the markets. If I were president today, I would call the members of Congress back into Washington and say this. Look, we're going to get this AAA rate credit rating back, and this is what we're going to do.
She's more than welcome to go back, but she's missed, like...
Yes, that's a gutsy demand coming from someone who has missed 40% of the House votes.
40%,
almost half the House votes to campaign for herself.
So
she means Congress, not her, necessarily.
Right. No.
He should call Congress.
Anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. That's leadership, my friends. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back. Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, because if that trashy big-lipped slag said it, it might be a little true.
Yeah, great. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. Carbonite automatically backs up all those files whenever you're connected to the Internet. Couldn't be easier. Carbonite.com right now. Enter Stephanie for a free trial. enter my name for a free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. You know what? Kathy from Brooklyn is right. Steph, Rick Perry's exactly like the Martin Sheen character from The Dead Zone. Am I the only person who sees this? I have a scary, creepy, skeevy feeling.
Yep.
Yeah, I do. I have a skeevy feeling about Rick Perry.
Put your finger on the button or I'll hack your hand off and put it on there for you.
Skeevy. He just makes you skeevy.
Yeah.
Hello, Sue in Rockville, Maryland, on the aforementioned Governor Skeevy Governor Perry. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know, the chat room's been helping me come up with a new word term for that party. It's the Republicrit party. It's putting Republican and hypocrite together.
There you go.
So the Republican crit, I'm getting good.
Easy for you.
Oh,
dear.
Rick Perry, he hates the federal government, but then he was crying like a little girl when they didn't, when the president didn't declare the wildfires in Texas back in April a disaster area so he could get federal aid.
Yeah.
You know, and then I just want to tell everyone there's a great site called the Top 10 Things Texas Governor Rick Perry Doesn't Want You to Know About Him. And if you just do 10 things about Rick Perry and Google it, you'll get some nice, juicy stuff.
Okay.
And, then I have a riddle.
Oh, yes, please.
May I please? What's the biggest thing that Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry have in common?
What's that?
They both have beards.
Oh, now listen, you scamp, you. I don't even know what that means. I know Mark Spockman feels super about the new super committee. He really, really does. And who doesn't? It's all right. We'll find it again. I can't get enough of that. All right. You know, this is, I guess, a celebrity snack. This is how we like to build people up and tear them down. Once heroes, rescued Chilean miners hit with fruit.
Yeah.
Aw, they're going to shove them back in the mine.
Well,
this is not.
Apparently in Chile, they've been getting incredibly swelled heads. And very, very grabby.
They've come under attack by anti-government protesters who threw fruit and small stones at them, accusing them of being ungrateful, greedy sellouts. They accuse them of getting too close with the government and trying to cash in on their fame. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. They were heroes just merely a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. What? Oh, this can't be. Superficial says there's a video of Lindsay Lohan buying drugs.
Allegedly.
NyQuil. That's what she was buying.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, these celebrity stories, it's not the story that's entertaining. It's always the publicist's explanation.
Yeah.
It's always the
Well, she was borrowing them for a friend, you see, and she was going to keep...
Where do they train Hollywood publicists? Welcome to the Academy of Bull. Okay, here's a... Is there just, it's like a, you know, dehydration, exhaust, is there like a, you know, checklist?
Sure.
No, I used that last week. No, that won't work this time.
My client, Mr. Hitler, accidentally stumbled into Poland. He didn't mean to. It was all a big misunderstanding.
X17, I don't know what that is, just posted recent footage of Lindsay Lohan sitting on the street with friends, inspecting Ziploc bags full of a powdery, coarse substance. And then handing someone cash for said substance.
They wanted to make donuts with flour and sugar, which is how you do it.
Her publicist had a perfectly rational explanation.
Sure. Oh,
who'd like
course.
To hear it? RadarOnline has exclusively learned the plastic bag did indeed contain various rocks and crystals, but they're all of a legal variety, sea jasper, a meteor, rose quartz, and quartz, all purchased by her pal from a store down the
street. She was rock hunting.
Right.
Street. Late at night on the city street.
Of course.
Okay. Superficial writing, because when you're purchasing sea jasper, a meteor, rose quartz, and a quartz, you want to make sure it's all loosely collected in the same plastic bag. From there, it's a simple matter of paying random strangers cash to hold the bag and then hand it back to you to lock in the space.
You know.
Right. Uh-huh.
If you're a celebrity... A celebrity who's
perhaps
in...
She should not be seen in public with plastic bags.
Of any kind.
Do not buy your drugs on the street.
Even with your lunch. Don't even put your sandwich in a Ziploc bag if you're Lindsay.
That's what assistants are for.
Exactly. And the publicist could have gone out and gotten it without any fanfare.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's what it was. There was crystals and things, positive energy, and they just all happened to get crushed in together. And
Rose jasper, or whatever.
A Brazilian powder crystal.
That's right. That's what it was.
Crushed into a fine powder.
Call now to get 6 free minutes, and while supplies last, this Brazilian power crystal absolutely free.
All right. Headline, Arnold Schwarzenegger could be charged over cigar. Was it lit or was it cold?
Huh?
Yeah, I often wonder that about Monica Lewinsky. All right, never mind. My point is,
ow!
The status of a cigar in Arnold Schwarzenegger's mouth at an Austrian airport could decide whether or not he faces legal action. Smoking at airports banned in Austria, and an anti-smoking lobby said Tuesday he plans to launch a suit against him for puffing on a stogie after arriving.
He just hasn't been having any good luck lately,
no.
Has he?
No, he's going to get arrested for smoking a cigar.
It's not since I broke my femur that I had such a bad week.
Okay.
Sure, I get in trouble for the womanizing and the having the babies with the other women and the marriage bed and all of this, but now I can't even smoke my cigar.
Mm-hmm. Now at least we know Jim, what things of this nature mean. It means knocking up the maid. That's what it means. Being sperminating with the maid.
These things are just nasty. You always wonder what I meant.
Never had such a bad week since I was on the surface of Mars and my eyeballs exploded out of my head.
Wait, that was a movie. This is what I meant. That's why I never said things of this nature that you don't need to know anything about.
Okay, speaking of former governor action heroes, Jesse Ventura, our buddy, our pal.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks his time as Minnesota's governor makes an acting role as Indiana's governor. He's playing Indiana's governor in a movie. He was in Indiana filming scenes with Tom Sizemore for the movie The Drunk. Oh, boy.
That
can't have ended well. I don't. Okay.
Who gave Tom Sizemore a job?
I know. Wow.
I know that story.
Yeah, who would insure that?
Really?
Really? Oh.
You're like, isn't Charlie Sheen available?
Yeah.
John Malkovich found losing...
Malkovich.
Okay, all right. He found losing his fortune freeing.
Yeah.
Whee! Who wouldn't? He lost more than $10 million in 2008 thanks to Bernie Madoff.
Oh, wow. Oh, jeez.
He insists he isn't... I'm still bitter about the quarter I lost in a slot machine once. I mean...
In Laughlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really only really rich people that say stuff like this. It's only money.
Oh.
If you have the ability by the insane, fortunate nature of your life to make money, losing basically all the money I'd ever made is very freeing. I'm not unhappy. Some good things came out of it.
Wow.
Same for that.
All right. That's a good attitude, I suppose.
It's like when someone that ripped your heart out says, but didn't you learn a lot? I'm like... You know what? That makes me want to punch you.
Didn't you learn a lot by losing that quarter in that slot machine?
No! No!
You learned you don't like slot machines.
That was very painful. Yeah. Well, you probably needed that.
My one gambling experience, I got this whole bucket of quarters and then blew it all as quickly as I...
That's what happens during gambling.
So
yeah.
Here's the only
all
response.
Right,
here's what I learned. I learned that you're Satan. You. a movement to name a mountain peak after the late John Denver has hit a snag. Oh, no. I love John Denver so much?
Don Denver?
You know what I'm saying. John Denver. I say I love him so much. I even love Grandma's Feather Bed. I'm not even just the big hits. Not just the Rocky Mountain Highs and the Annie and the...
Annie Song.
Who even goes down the John Denver rabbit hole to Grandma's Feather Bed?
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm looking at the three John Denver songs we have in our system here.
Mm-hmm.
One is Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Yes.
Okay, another one is Rocky Mountain High, which is what we're playing right now. The third one is Please, Daddy, Don't Get Drunk.
Well, wait, I got to hear that. What? I don't remember that one.
I don't remember.
That's like, wow, that's even way below.
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
No.
I don't want to see my mama.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
Please,
didn't get a lot of airplay in the 1970s.
Don't get drunk this Christmas.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to see my mama cry.
Yeah, you know what? That was the record executive meeting where, John, sit down for a second.
That was his version of...
sit down. Okay.
That was his
the
Christmas carol.
With the far away
eyes. Yeah. Annie and the love and all that is just it's fabulous. The whole, your daddy issue stuff, not so much. It's a song. No, I don't think that one's going to go. Why do we have that in there?
I have no idea.
All right, the effort is gave momentum.
I think the Sex Pistols covered that one.
Yeah.
See, now it's August. We're gonna stumble into horrible maudlin songs from the 70s that are about horrible.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
The doldrums of August.
Yes.
Send your suggestions this way.
What was the one? I can't remember. There are ones that are just like the most depressing themes ever. Maybe that's what, you know, he was trying to join that effort.
Hmm.
The effort gained momentum in recent weeks as thousands of people signed a petition to recognize the singer with a mountain near where he wrote Rocky Mountain High.
Okay.
U.S. Board on Geographic Names says there are problems with the proposal. Renaming the peak for Denver could be forbidden under federal wilderness law.
Hmm.
Oh, come on. Make an exception. He's John Denver. His father used to get drunk Christmas like Bing Crosby and beat the bejesus out of him and his mother.
Sack of oranges.
Push him down the stairs.
They're
into
not
the
just
fruit
for breakfast
cellar.
Anymore.
That's not funny.
Derek in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about something that you and your last guest, Brad, had discussed. While he was talking about accountability and how the elections need to be, you know, the ballots need to be checked and double-checked and everything, one of the things you said that is a dirty trick by the Republicans is voter ID laws. I'd like for you to please help me understand.
I didn't. That wasn't.
You actually did.
Okay.
Oh, did he just shush you?
He did. He shushed me on my own show. Derek, I think what I was talking about is that the Republicans seem to try to make conservative efforts to make sure that less people are able to vote.
Fewer people.
Fewer people. Excuse
okay.
me.
May I speak now?
Yes, of course. Oh, okay. Of course,
so
you may.
I am a judge of elections in my district of my town.
Sure you are.
And my name is Derek Woodward, Alden, Pennsylvania. Look it up.
Okay.
Alden West District.
All right. Okay.
Okay. That's my full name. Thank you. Why would you not want to ensure that only the people that can vote are eligible to vote? For example, why would you even take the chance that
because it
maybe
disenfranchises people that are less likely to be able to have IDs, the elderly, poor, students. I mean, there are reasons. I mean, honestly, Derek, the problem is how many cases have ever been proved? About zero. A voter fraud like this, of people pretending to be someone else and voting.
How many cases has it been proven that you haven't been able to vote because you couldn't get a state issue ID? I believe that most
a lot of people can. It tends to disenfranchise people that tend to vote Democratic.
But are you okay? Let me ask you this: there were states that volunteered to give the state ID for free, and Democrats were still opposed to it. Why would that
right.
be?
Right, Derek. But where are these cases? Everybody yells voter fraud on the Republican side, and there aren't any cases of it. I mean, there are massive cases of election fraud, like Brad Blog and others have talked about. Whether it's
it would seem fair. That if you said, you know what, there could be possibilities of cases where people who could vote GOP instead of Democrat. But that's not ever how it comes across. It's only the Democrats who whine that, hey, you know, these people might vote Republican. So, you know, we can't let them do that.
What?
You know,
what?
You know,
that doesn't make any sense.
How can you stress accountability? Huh?
You're not making sense, dude.
All right. So harsh my buzz. I was on my John Denver buzz. I was going down my Maudlin 70s songs rat hole. And all right.
Look, there is no evidence that I've ever heard of well, you know, if you go back to Lyndon Johnson having dead people vote for him. Okay, yeah. But in modern times, it's always been the Republicans who
I've never
heard of voting machines that accidentally
yes.
voted for
2000 and
a
2004
Democrat.
There was massive evidence of election fraud.
Yeah.
So what they try to do to even it out, oh, it's all the same on both sides.
Right.
There's
right.
you know, voter fraud, and there's no provable cases of it.
There are no ballots for George Bush found in a swamp in the trunk of a car. But
and by the way,
for Gore though.
My favorite thing about this segment is you just it confirmed that Lyndon Johnson beat my daddy unfairly.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
We were this close. Yeah. 48
notice I'm staying out of this conversation because I don't want to get ganged up on by you two.
48 minutes after the hour. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Lou Dobbs over here.
Sure. 48 minutes after the hour. Rash people.
Mexicans are stealing our elections.
The hell's going to want to pretend to be you?
Lots of people
want
to be
me. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program, and don't even get me started on the monkey.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Isn't that ironic? Well, not really.
No. No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour. Wow, thanks for all the Mrs. Boner pictures. Yikes. She is orange. She does
appear
orange.
Wow.
And she's very sour, like her husband.
There's pictures of the rest of the family, and they're all
There's no comedy mask in that marriage.
No.
Both tragedy masks.
Like, yeah. It looked like we could all burst into tears at a drop of a hat. Yeah, maybe
they're all weepy.
Genetic...
They're all weepy and orange. That looks like a fun Thanksgiving tableau.
By the way, we put that picture up at your Facebook page so you can see it for yourself. And
zoinks.
Wow.
Zoinks is all I can say. Donde los yikes.
That does not look like a fun bunch. I don't think they'd be fans of this show.
No.
No.
Don't think they're fans of the fart humor.
Nope.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number to free from anywhere. David in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Totally jump right in. Okay. I was responding to the guy that called in trying to justify all the excessive identification stuff they do in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And I just called in to say how we do it in New York State. Very simple. In New York State, when you register to vote, the last thing you do on the form is you sign your name. Mm-hmm. And then you submit the form. And the Board of Elections does all the investigation. And then when you go to vote, there's a book there, all arranged by street address. And mm-hmm. they ask you, where do you live?
Right.
And they open the book, and there's your signature there.
Yeah. Oh, there's your signature. That would be a great way to check.
They cover up your signature and ask you to sign.
Yeah.
And then they look. And if somebody, if there's not a blank space there, you don't get to vote.
Yeah. It just has been so blatant in recent years that this is just a Republican way of disenfranchising more people that are likely to vote Democratic. And as I say, there is no evidence of this voter fraud they talk about. Even this whole fake acorn thing, Jim, as you talked about.
Acorn, huh? How about
none of
acorn?
Those people voted. There was no actual voter fraud.
What's your point?
They were obviously trying to gather names to make money.
But there was a pimp and a hooker.
Right, which was not correct, obviously, but they didn't actually vote. That's the...
And the Black Panthers, they were...
It's scary, black men voting. Matt in Nashville, North Carolina. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Excellent. I'm a judge, election judge here in Asheville, and I just want to let you know that according to our chief of elections here, in the past 16 years, there's been one maybe when it comes to voter fraud, and she said it's a maybe. They're really not sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about, the massive, massive evidence of massive voter fraud over the years.
Hmm.
All right. Chris and Yankton, like us, very excited about the Super Committee. Staff, I love the musical ditty for the Congressional Super Committee. Thanks for asking. Oh, you're welcome.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Mm-hmm. Stacy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
Let's talk about the 90,000 people whose names were removed from the voting rolls in Florida by Catherine Harris.
Yeah.
Because they had names similar to convicted felons.
They were felony. They were felony-ish. Yeah.
Let's talk about all the counties that are under consent decrees because of caging.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
You know what caging is?
Yeah.
I mean, this is,
removing voters, right.
It's unbelievable. No, where they send a letter to you, and if you don't respond, then they remove your name from the poll.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, exactly. It is meant they are solely to disenfranchise people.
To Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's a coincidence.
Yes, many people are writing enough, looking at the Mrs. Boner picture. Steph, yes, she too is orange and appears to have a little mustache, too. Eek.
Oh, now come on.
I didn't say it.
At least she doesn't have a beard problem like Michelle Bachmann.
No, Nancy said that, but it's just a little mustache, not a whole beard. I have one. I told you I shaved. I have a little nose hair trimmer that I got to get a little down below, too.
Oh.
A little bit.
Now that you've hit the change, that's going to ramp up.
Armenian dude. The return of the Armenian dude.
Hey, one last up. Back in middle age. Yeah, yeah. I thought I left him in high school. I am not going back to that hair. Governor Rick Perry, falling in line with the Tea Party rhetoric about out-of-control government spending, now supporting a move away from direct subsidies to the agriculture industry in favor of an incentives-driven model. But Perry himself has benefited from over $80,000 in farm subsidies over the years.
That seems a little hypocritical.
And publicly declared his support for farm subsidies when he was running for Texas agriculture back when he worked for Al Gore.
Oops.
That's a lot of bull crap.
Hope that doesn't help him, hurt him in any way in the Republican field.
Oops.
All right. That's it for us Fridays with People Saying. Tomorrow we'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.